One thing critics of the Iran deal like to bring up is the agreement the Clinton administration reached with North Korea back in 1994. That deal ultimately failed. But as the world's Matthew Bell reports, there's a dirty little secret about that nuclear accord.
North Korea's official news agency announced today that the country has no interest in restarting nuclear talks with the U.S. It is not logical, the newsreader says, to compare the North Korean situation with this Iran nuclear deal. He said because of U.S. hostility, North Korea will not freeze or give up its nuclear capability. What the announcer neglected to say is that's precisely what the country did a little over 20 years ago.
Today, after 16 months of intense and difficult negotiations with North Korea, we have completed an agreement that will make the United States, the Korean Peninsula, and the world safer.
President Bill Clinton described the agreed framework as historic.
North Korea has agreed to freeze its existing nuclear program and to accept international inspection of all existing facilities. This agreement represents the first step on the road to a nuclear-free Korean Peninsula. It does not rely on trust. Compliance will be certified by the International Atomic Energy Agency.
Sound familiar? It should, because the nuclear deal the White House just reached with Iran includes lessons learned from the U.S. experience with the North Koreans. And the dirty little secret about the agreed framework? It actually worked. For 8 years, inspectors kept a lid on North Korea's main nuclear facility, thereby blocking the country's most direct pathway to developing nuclear weapons. Things eventually fell apart, but in retrospect, the deal accomplished something pretty important, says arms control expert Jeffrey Lewis of the Middlebury Institute. Before the deal was signed in 1994, the North Koreans possibly had enough nuclear material for one or two bombs.
Once the agreed framework collapsed, they went ahead, they took the plutonium out of the spent fuel which had been created the reactor, and, you know, now they have like a dozen nuclear weapons. And so zero, one, or two was not great, but like 12 is worse.
The deal with North Korea was a big trade-off, and the North Koreans agreed to halt their plutonium program. In exchange, the U.S. would provide energy assistance. But both sides hedged. Washington dragged its feet on funding, and North Korea started cheating by setting up a separate covert uranium program. Under President George W. Bush, the deal was allowed to wither and die. Matthew Bunn is a nuclear expert at Harvard University.
What killed the agreed framework ultimately is both sides feeling the other was cheating and that they weren't getting what they had expected to get out of the deal. And it was sort of one problem after another that led each side to conclude this deal isn't working.
But Jeffrey Lewis says the real problem with the North Korea deal was the broad scope of what it aimed to achieve.
The agreed framework was premised on the idea that North Korea would give up its nuclear weapons and we would gradually treat them like a normal country. But they're not a normal country, and nuclear weapons weren't the only problem that we had with them. And so I think at the end of the day, it tried to do way too much.
Lewis says the Iran deal is a lot more focused. It is not about changing Iranian behavior in the region or normalizing relations with the Islamic Republic. It's a straightforward quid pro quo. Iran gets sanctions relief in exchange for putting limits on certain nuclear activities. Success for the Iran agreement, just like the one with North Korea, depends on all sides having the political will to implement the terms of the deal. For The World, I'm Matthew Bell.